Yeah, hello people. Welcome once again. Hope everyone's well. Yeah, got a great show for you tonight. And as always, you're listening to...
Oh yeah.
Yeah, on tonight I talked to a fellow dyslexian, it's Emma Watson. She's doing amazing stuff in schools. And she talks a little bit about her son, who's dyslexic, and I think he's going to write a book. So yeah, great show, especially as it's October and it is International Dyslexic Awareness Month. And I'm the International Dyslexic Superhero. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. Yeah, just another thing before we do get going. I have got a new app. It is the Dougie Stone app, available on Android and also Apple phones. So download that. It's free. You can send me requests to the show. You can get back copies of my podcast and things like that. And you can send me requests to my radio show. I do a country show on a Monday night at 6 o'clock UK time. That goes live simultaneously to Sweet FM over in the Burdekin in Australia. And that's going from strength to strength over there. So yeah, please check that out. Please download it. I won't bombard you with stuff, but I can send notifications to you. And I think it's a really cool way of getting people that listen to my show involved, because obviously I've got a global audience and it's just a nice way. So I've provided that out for you. So that's the Dougie Stone app on Android and on the iTunes store. Go and check it out. So anyway, let's have a chat with Emma. Right, people. You know, I'm on the mission to change the perception of dyslexia in the UK. Well, globally, really, but the UK will start with. And today I've got a fellow dyslexian on, and I believe she's a pretty amazing... Hang on, I'll start again. I thought that on myself. Hang on. Yeah, and a pretty great individual. I've been put in contact with by Cross Crosley, one of my friends who's been on the show. And it's Emma. So good afternoon, good evening, Emma.
Good afternoon, good evening.
Yeah, because I don't know when this is going out. So it could be the evening or the morning or it could be night time. So who cares? Yeah, can you, for the benefit of people listening, because obviously not everybody knows you yet, who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am the mum of, I'm a dyslexic myself, and my son is dyslexic as well. And that's basically where it started. I wasn't anything else in a business or anything like that. I just wanted to try and do something and help the struggles of dyslexic children, because of obviously the length of the time of being seen and diagnosed. I noticed a lot that teachers and schools in general are frightened of these children. That's how it appears. So yeah. I wanted to do something to help them, yeah. Help the schools rather than helping the children, because there is help there for the children, and that they are a lot better than they used to be when I was younger, about making sure that they're not afraid and they don't have low self-confidence and things. They are pretty good with things like that now. But it's not for the teachers. It's difficult for them because they only have a certain amount of training. I know in our school we only have one Senko who's completely trained in special educational needs. So all of the other teachers kind of, it just seems like they're winging it, and I feel like there should be more there for them.
Oh yeah, I'm loving this, Emma. I'm loving this because you don't know, but I went to university in 2010 and I did a master's degree, and my dissertation was Are Dyslexics Predisposed Entrepreneurs? So I did a lot of research in it, and it's amazing when you start looking that the some of the white papers that you see from the education across UK and Ireland and things like that, where you've even still got educational boards and teachers who don't even believe it exists, never mind know what to how to deal with it. And that's why I set out on what I'm doing, and that's why I want to interview amazing people like you who see it, understand it, and want to make a difference. And we're not there to be, for want of a word, a pain in the backside to the education people. We're trying to help.
Exactly.
And I think it's, because Cros told me a bit about you, and I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And I commend you for that. And I think even if you only affect one school to start with, that is blooming marvellous. So what are you currently doing then with the school? I think you do something with books, and you've done a lot of research on books, haven't you? Is that correct?
I've worked as an independent Osborne organiser for a while now.
All right.
And that's sort of like a completely different thing, but I've worked out how I can help within that as well, because I can do what's called a community book pledge, where I work with local businesses of that particular school, and the businesses will donate money for books for the school.
Yeah.
So that's like kind of as far as the Osborne bit goes with it, but that helps me because I can teach the teachers with this, with all of these free books that I'm getting, plus the extra that Osborne give on top. I can show the school that books can be something that dyslexic children love. It's not something they need to be afraid of. And aside from all of the other stuff that comes under the umbrella of dyslexic children struggling with the fact that it can give them mental health problems, it can make them have really low confidence, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's the fact that they have a really poor relationship with books. And in that sense, they quite often not using books to find what is their strength. Because obviously everybody, I'm sure you know as well as I do, if somebody is dyslexic, they will be amazing at something else. But if they've got this fear of books, they're not going to find that.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. That's my thing at the moment.
That's wonderful. That is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Because the more, and that's why I want to do this, I want to energise people like yourself and other people out there that are either dyslexic or non-dyslexics to understand what it is and do something about it, even if it's just a minute shift in way people work or their attitude towards it will make a massive difference to those individuals. Because, I mean, I grew up in the 60s and I was in school in the 70s and early 80s when I left senior school, and it was even worse then. Do you know what I mean? Even worse. I'm reading out loud in school, in class, reading from a book. I can read and write like most dyslexics can, but then if I try and read and narrate at the same time, it's almost impossible for me. I really struggle. Same as if I do this show. I've done it in the past where I've read some articles that I've done. I've written the articles, and then if you ever listen to any of the shows that I've done that, you can tell that I'm reading it. Because you can tell that it's not flowing. So what I tend to do now is when I'm doing stuff like that, I'll just have bullet points or that's what I spoke about, and then it's more natural. I might miss some of the points and what have you, but you can always go and refer to the article. So, I think it's great. Like I say, I'm only one person. You're another person. The more people we energise and get involved in this, the better it's going to be for the young people, the next generation. Yeah. Because
definitely, and I know it works.
Dyslexics are amazing business owners, and I believe the dyslexics, even though that at the moment not seen as that, seen as very negative, that I believe that if we encourage more dyslexics and give them the one thing they need is confidence, and then they'll fly. If you give them the confidence, they'll go, and then we can make a drastic difference to the UK in general. You know, in business wise, social, it'll all link together, and I think it's great what you're doing. I'm quite envious of what you're doing, actually, because I think it's brilliant that you're doing that thing that you're doing. You know, I think it's a really positive thing for the dyslexic community and the non-dyslexic community.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun as well. I'm working with Nathan School, my son, who's got struggles. It's not just dyslexia he's got. He's got quite a few different things going on.
Yeah.
But they were actually in special measures when Nathan was little, and it took from me noticing something was wrong when he was about 3 or 4, and he's now nearly 11, and he was diagnosed last November.
Mm-hmm.
And in that space of time, I've worked with Nathan School because I can see what's wrong. I'm looking up all these different things, speaking to different people, going to dyslexic charities, getting a lot of advice from a lot of different places, but a lot of parents wouldn't get that.
Yep.
And because I've got all of that, I've gone into the school and said, we need to do this, 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 and this. And we've gone from a child that literally, as if I picked his school bag up, he'd get upset because he knew I wanted to do the 20 minutes of reading that they were saying to do.
Yeah.
So now he's actually written his own book, and he's written a book because he wants to help other children.
Brilliant.
Who have got things wrong with them. And he asked to write that book.
I love it. Well,
and that's a level of confidence that it can give.
That, Yeah, well, I need to talk to him. Because the thing is, if you listen to some of my past shows, which you've probably not done, I interviewed a young lady over in America on Staten Island. She goes by the name of Dyslexic Renegade. She's severely dyslexic and she's just writing her second book. She's awesome. Right. So I'll give you the link to that later. Go and check that show out. She's amazing. She actually interviewed me in the show and she's really on a mission in the the USA. Similar to what you're doing over here, what we're doing over here. So yeah, it'd be great to get some feedback from your lad about these. But so what's the book called then? Is it been published?
It's not. We're working with Uncle Cross at the moment on that.
Cool. Well, you've got to tell me when that comes out, and what I'd like to do, if you're in agreement and he's okay with it, I think we'll have to interview the young author when he releases it.
Yeah, I think he'd be pretty happy with that, to be honest.
Right, well, let's do that then. We'll arrange that. That's not a problem. I want to get, you know, let's get this new generation out there. And what I'll also do with you, I'll link you up with a Dyslexic Renegade in America, and they're similar age. She's 12. They can have a chat, and they can probably work on a strategy to do what they're doing both sides of the pond, if that's all right. I'll sort that out with you as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank
that's
you.
That's great. So there's loads of exciting stuff going on. So that's great that you're making a positive change within the school. So are you going to stick with the one school, or have you got plans to expand this elsewhere?
Yeah, definitely. We want to make it as big as it possibly can. At the end of the day, if it's changing children's confidence to that degree, it needs to be everywhere. And not just that, but it needs to be not just coming from me, because I'm one person.
Yeah.
And if we can, this is why I'm targeting teachers. I could target parents, and I did consider that, but you get a lot of different backgrounds, and you can guarantee that it's not going to hit everybody the same. Whereas with teachers, if they're struggling to do their job, they're going to want help with that.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I'm going to have a chat with you after this, because I'm trying to pull a bit of a thing together, and what you're doing is perfect. So because I've been talking in a few schools. I'm working with a charity in the Midlands, and I've done a bit, so that's called Employability UK. So they do programs to get young people more entrepreneurial, and I've been in and done some talks about being dyslexic. Even got one of the founders, who's dyslexic, saying openly admitting, that's the wrong thing, but saying in front of everybody, I'm dyslexic, da-da-da-da, this is what it's like. And he'd only ever done that once before. And because I was involved, he decided it was a good thing to say. And I actually seen him at a big presentation doing it as well. So you don't know what you're affecting, and how you're affecting people. And that affecting him is going to affect the next person. And it has this ripple effect around. So even if you're just working in your one school, you know, we're talking now, your son's written a book, that's going to affect so many people that you don't know. It's great, absolutely great. It's going to take time, but we just need to keep on it.
Definitely. It's like the deaf community. At the end of the day, people who are born deaf and they call themselves deaf, they don't say, oh, I'm deaf and this is my disability.
Correct.
It's the same as saying, well, I'm Welsh or I'm Scottish and I'm dyslexic. It's the way my brain works. There's nothing wrong with that.
Welsh and Scottish, that is being dyslexic. Oh, no. That's all me Welsh and Scottish listeners turned off now. No, it's I hate the term. There's two terms that I really hate, and if you ever watch any of my stuff that I've done, is disability and learning difficulty. As soon as you say those two things to anybody, the negative. So you've got a disability. Why have I got a disability? Because I can't do this. It's language. It's reading and writing, and is where the symptom or the where it comes out. That is not dyslexia. Dyslexia is how the brain works, how it programs and receives and takes information and makes sense of the world. The reading and writing is just the outcome of it, and it's got no relationship to it. Because who decided that we had to read and write? Who decided that was the best way to communicate? Someone did. Probably someone who could read and write, why we're talking now, we're having a conversation. If you step back into history and you go to some of the tribes that are still doing it now, they passed all their information by chance, by songs, by stories. And the next generation understood because of that communication. They did visual art on cave walls and all sorts of things like that. So, but we had this change at some point where writing, and I'm not saying language, reading and writing is bad, because it's obviously a great way to communicate, but it's not the sole way to communicate, and it shouldn't be the indicator or the defining thing of someone's ability to make sense of the world or actually do good or do whatever the skill or ability is.
Yeah.
Because if you got a carpenter to make your cabinet, he wouldn't care less. He couldn't care less if he could read or write. If he produces amazing piece of furniture, it wouldn't make a difference if he could read something, would it? Yeah. Same as a mechanic. No. You're not interested if mechanic. So there's these things that we're like, it doesn't matter. And, you know, like I say, I write for a dyslexic magazine. I'm dyslexic, but I write for a magazine. Doesn't mean I can't write, does it? Do you know what I mean? It's so what you're doing, bringing it back to what you're doing, it's changing these negative issues to positive issues, which I think is really, really good. So have they got you coming in on a regular basis into the school?
Not really, no. At the moment, I'm looking at creating something that's sort of like more of a sturdy, a rigid program that I can go in and provide. Mm. Whereas because it's my son's school, I've just been sort of popping in, asking to see the teacher after class and working with them that way.
Yeah.
With his struggles. And it's only sort of been the last year that I've realised what a difference there is in my child. And started thinking, this is what I need to be doing. And as soon as I realised what I could offer books-wise and time-wise, it's meant that the idea has been evolving for a while, and now I've hit upon what I want. That's when I can start making something a little bit more understandable and a little bit more where I can repeat it in each. I can't even think of the word where I can repeat it in each school.
You can replicate a standard format. Yeah, that's what you're trying to do. But and it's like everything, you've got to start from somewhere. You've got to start. Everything starts from somewhere. And this is another thing which as a society and globally, we see the end result of something. So we'll see things like Apple. What an amazing, I'm using that as an example, you know, this amazing business or Facebook and everything. But they all started from a couple of people sat around a table with scraps of paper. Or, you know, if you look at all the major big global businesses, a lot of them started in a shed. Or a garage, in the parents' garage, and it took them years to get to where they are. So, the fact that you've started on this journey, and you'll make mistakes, you'll find out what works, what doesn't work, and then you'll do a program. But the fact that you've actually taken action and started is the main thing, and you've done it. You've not just sat there going, "Oh, I'd love to do something." You're doing it, yeah. And now, what you'll do, you'll find the way, you'll find what works, find out what doesn't work. And great, you're with teachers who know about standard practices and putting things together and how they do their plans for the year, because they have to plan a year in advance. So get a bit of symbiosis going. So where your teacher at work and say, right, okay, how do you plan? Can you help me with this program? I want to roll this out. How would you set a plan for the next 12 months? What should I be looking? What's worked for you that I've taught you about? How, you know what I mean? So learn, you're almost on a research mission at the minute to build your business for the future and build this thing. And that will continue to evolve and change as things happen. But you started, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's great what you're doing. I really do. I really do. And you were obviously working with Crawls in the book and everything. That he'll help you because he's got a lot of time behind him and a lot of experience with business and developing things and exposure to things. So, yeah, it's great. And he's finding those are the links to other people like you're doing now. You go into the dyslexic charities and what have you. So that's really, really good, that.
Brilliant. Thank you.
So, with his book, is it aimed at dyslexics to help them?
It's not
them,
actually, no.
No? Can you give us a bit of a, without ruining the story, so when we come to read it, can you give us a bit of an overview of what it's about?
He is very young-minded. He's nearly 11, and the book that he's written is actually more for younger children. He's probably, his reading age is actually at the moment higher than his mental age. His mental age is 7.5 and his reading age is 8.
Yeah.
So the book that he's written, it's not about helping anybody with anything. It doesn't mention it in there at all. It's just a book that is supposed to help children that think in a different way deal with big things that happen in life. And that's the main way I can explain it. He's writing more and more as time goes on. But it's just this first one that I'm working on with him at the moment to get published, because I feel like it's a big thing. Although he is dyslexic, it's more centred around children that struggle with autism and the children that don't recognise emotions and don't handle different situations or change very well.
Yeah.
And this, the book is called Grandma Grace Went to Space. And
Ooh.
it's about a family member dying and how you can cope with that. Because obviously in the situation where someone dies, family members are going to struggle to deal with that. And it's even harder on that family when 99% of the people in the house understand the situation and one doesn't.
Yes.
To have that book to help that process.
Love it.
And to be able to connect on that level with your child. And even if it doesn't help them feel better, it can help you connect with how their brain works.
Yeah.
That's why that one, to me at the moment, is his most prominent one.
Mm.
And the one we really want to push forward.
Wow. Simply wow. That's great, because you're right. And obviously people know that dyslexia is on the spectrum with autism, ADHD and dyspraxia and that. And there's people can suffer. I'll use that word suffer. It's not suffering. But people can have one or multiple of those conditions. And one of the things about autistic individuals is they obviously don't, they struggle with change. So they like stability, they like the same thing. They struggle with a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And those major events where someone's there, it could be very difficult to, for them to comprehend and then obviously make sense of it. So
yeah.
That is a great thing to do. And a lot of stuff I do is not about trying to get people to be more educated and how they can read better and all that sort of stuff. I'm not interested in doing that. But it's coming from a different angle. So when I do my articles, they're not statistic-based. They're more of ideas that I've got that might not even make sense to some people, but hopefully they will make sense to some people. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's as you just said, suffer, and then you kind of thought, oh, no, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But it's books like this that can turn that suffering into something that isn't. It's just a different way of communicating, because it's not just helping this child to understand what's happening in the world. It's if that book is then shared with the adults, it's teaching people who don't have any of these so-called difficulties to understand them. And if they're more widely understood, they're not difficulties anymore. They're just different ways. And that's where we need to be in the future, where people aren't saying that you're suffering or you've got a difficulty or you're disabled. There's none of that. It's just, let's do this a different way.
I love it. I mean, my most recent article, one of my recent articles that I've written and I spoke about on my show the other week was dyslexics coming out of the closet, the dyslexic closet. And basically what you're trying to do, what I'm trying to do is a similar thing. That if you look at the gay lesbian community as an example, they took a long time for them to get recognition of what it is and that the normal, for want of a better word, and it's just the way they are, where they're made up. And the way it's happened is because there's been people like you and me in that community raising awareness to the point where if you was in a room and are having a meal with someone at a party and they said, oh, I'm gay or I'm a lesbian, you wouldn't even bat an eyelid. You'd be like, fair enough, whatever. But if someone
turned, why you're telling me?
Yeah, but if someone turned around at a party and says, oh, I'm autistic, then people are like, they don't understand it. And they go, what does that mean? Is he going to start running around and being, he's going to start smashing stuff up, or he's dyslexic.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't even speak to, I've just done my advanced writing. And I said to one of the instructors, like, well, I struggled with the anagram. I'll get it in the end because I'm dyslexic. And he went, oh, can you read? It's like, yeah, I can bloody read. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just struggle with processing things and names and faces and dates and times and that. But it doesn't stop me doing stuff. Yeah, of course I can bloody. So there's this total lack of understanding. So I hope that makes sense about the way the gay community is doing theirs. With it, if I put on my Facebook, Rainbow up, straight away, people would know what it meant, wouldn't they? Anything rainbow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We need some icons and some imagery that does the same for the dyslexic, the spectrum, whatever it is, that people can grab hold of. And the more we talk about it, the more we do shows like this, the more that you go into schools, the more it slowly but surely will change. It's going to take a little time, but we just need to keep going. And you sound very passionate about it. I love the way you when you start talking about the book, then that was brilliant. And that's what we want more of. Because once dyslexics get over the confidence and have an idea and have a passion, nothing's going to stop. And nothing's going to stop you and your son from moving this forward. I can see it. It's just great to see. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Good.
Yeah, and you probably heard your thing ping. I've hooked you up with that individual in America, so you go and have a chat with them later, because I think we need to get those two individuals together. So what's your plans for the future then with everything?
At the moment, we're working on the book, getting that out, because it's being very helpful with that, because that's just not my area at all. But the bit that is my area is working on how I'm going to build this program where I can go and help the schools and get these donations in from small businesses, really, because without that, I can't provide the books that are going to help. But it means that there's something for me to do alongside waiting for the book, where I can still be helpful, because otherwise, if I've got to be sat still, I'm not going to be doing much. I'm just going to be writing it all down. It's not getting anywhere. And like you say, I've got to go out. My job at the moment is to go out and get all of this stuff noticed so that it isn't anymore. And that's exactly what we want. That's what I'm working on at the moment. Speaking to people who can help me, such as yourself, and who have got the same message to send around, really. Making connections is a big part of what I'm doing at the moment, because it's really necessary for me to move forward.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you now on the show, if you need any help, you want me to come down, I'm not even sure where you're based, but if you want me to come and do in that school, if you want me to do some speaking there to the teachers initially, if you want, and then to the kids, more than happy to do that. I've done it a few times at places. So, yeah, more than happy to get involved. And I wanted to have a chat with you after the show anyway. So,
okay.
That's great. So I think what we'll do next is I've been asking, because this will go out on air on the radio as well, I can play music on there. Is there a song that you like playing that means something to you, or just generally one that you like?
It's one that helped Nathan learn how to read, and it's Take It Easy by the Eagles.
Oh, one of my favourites. I've seen them live. Oh, it's wonderful. What a great track. Right, people. Yeah. So if you're on the radio, you're going to listen to this now. This is the Eagles and Take It Easy. Right, left a gap there now. So is anything else you want to talk about?
No.
No? Is that all right?
Yeah.
I think that was pretty groovy, wasn't it? So that's about 25 minutes, that. So that's about, right, I do about half an hour show. Half an hour to an hour, depending on what the guest is and what it's about. But we'll just keep going round and round, and I think your point's been made, hasn't it, really? So.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll start as if we've just listened to the song now, and then I'll edit this out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a cracker. I love that. I've played that a few times on when I've done the Time Tunnel and other shows. Take It Easy by the Eagles. Wonderful. So, if you get a chance to go and see them, go and watch them. They are awesome live. So anyway, Emma, I've had a great morning listening to what you're doing. I'm really excited for you and for the future and your son, Nathan. My son's called Nathan. That's unusual, isn't it? Not unusual. Interesting. Yeah, and let me know how you get on with the book. I'd like to interview Nathan for the show, because I think that'd be great to have another dyslexian author on. That's great. I've got two authors now that I know who are going to be sensational. And I'd like to let me know how he gets on with Leah when he speaks to Leah, because you will be speaking to Leah. And is there anything you'd like to say before you go?
Not really. I think just everyone, I just want everyone to be accepting. If someone says they're dyslexic, don't recoil in fear. Just accept people for who they are.
Great. And how can people get hold of you? You got a website? Because I know you're still building your business up. Or do they?
Yeah, no. You can just get me on Facebook. My number's in a few places. And obviously, if anybody knows Cross, most people know Cross, they can get hold of him.
Okay.
Or get hold of you.
I was just going to say that. If people want to get hold of Emma, please contact me, because obviously you don't want a flood of all sorts of people clocking onto your Facebook page. But if anyone wants to talk to Emma Watson, wants to know what she's doing, if you want to replicate something in your school to help your child or people there, or if you're a teacher, then this lady's on a mission and she's there to help you, and I know she's going to build a great business on the back of this. So thanks for joining us today, Emma, and good luck for the future.
Thank you.
And take it easy. Yeah, so that's the end of another show. On next week's show, I've got the amazing Cros Crosley on, talking about his new book and a few other things. So please check that out. Please go to Radio Warwickshire. Please subscribe to the page. It's free. We're trying to build a community of people, so go and register there. Go and check out all the presenters and what shows are on. And as always, you've been listening to Oh yeah. She'll sing it again. Yeah, if you've got an interesting story, why not hook up with me at Dougie Stone on Twitter, or go to my website, dougiestone.com, send me a message, or try my app and send me a message there. I like to get interesting guests on, especially if you're dyslexic. I'm also looking for new artists, new bands, so go to the RadioWarwickshire.com website, go to the submission page, and we'll pick it up there. Until next time, see ya! The Dougie Stone.